let's not focus on the past. Let's move forward. You are making a unilateral decision for two people, which is not the basis of a marriage. That's not how marriage works.
No.
I'm saying that my feelings of shame are more important than everything I put you through.
Ooh.
That's what I'm doing.
That's basically. So powerful when you say it like that. It's true, though.
So think about that. Think about that when you say, let's not talk about the past. I'm saying that my feelings of shame are more important than everything that you feel. Mm-hmm. And you don't get to talk about your feelings because mine are more important. Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Till the Wheels Fall Off. I am Matt.
I'm Paige.
Did you get scared there?
What was that?
Oh, bringing some energy in here, man. We're exhausted.
He pointed at me.
Freaking tired.
I know, I'm tired too. We say this every time. Why do you do this?
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
Not anymore.
Okay, well, we just switched seasons like within 2 days.
Yeah, we were in the snow yesterday. We were in Colorado for a beautiful wedding.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So amazing. And me and the kids, you were with the bride one day.
Uh-huh.
And so me and the kids got a day to ourselves.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go see some chipmunks.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're adorable. You ever seen a chipmunk with the cheeks full of sunflower seeds? Man, that is just joy.
So, nuts.
You always be dirty about stuff, man. I can't sit here. Anyway, what we found was not chipmunks. The chipmunks were snowed out. We found 4 feet of snow in the mountains.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were throwing snowballs at each other and mm-hmm. it was awesome. But yeah, just a lot of travel and not a lot of sleep. And yeah, it's been kind of a weird day.
Yeah.
But
oh, it was totally eclipse day.
Yeah, today. Yeah, if you're hearing this today, it's Monday.
Yeah.
It was eclipse day. That was crazy.
That was really cool. I actually teared up, which is so weird. I don't know why I teared up, but I did.
It was powerful.
It was. It was like, because you know, like nature is like my thing and like uh-huh. being outside and all that. It just makes me feel like, you know, close to God. And it made me tear up. And I was like, this is weird. I don't know why I'm crying about this.
I was so not enthusiastic or excited about this.
I thought
everyone was overblowing it. When
Agreed.
I saw it, I was like, whoa.
I know.
Like, I take it all back. That mm-hmm. was way cooler than I thought it would be.
It was really cool.
Like the stars came out and all the lights around the house came on, like yeah. the solar lights.
Yeah, you were like, oh my gosh, I can see stars, Paige. Look, it's so
crazy.
Cool.
That was so freaking cool.
Our dog didn't freak out though. Apparently dogs like weird out over that stuff and she was fine. But people did do fireworks and that freaked her out.
That dog just ate a whole sub sandwich. I don't think she's thinking about much of anything other than her belly's nice and full. That dog got into some food earlier.
Yeah, she did. You thought it was pizza, but no, apparently
she snuck
our
a whole meatball sub out of someone's backpack.
He kept a sandwich in his backpack.
And this dog's no bigger than the sub, so I don't know what we're in for later. Is it staring at me through the window?
I didn't
over there
think about that.
Just wait. We're
gonna draw or do paper rock scissors to see who gets that cleanup.
Yeah, I'll go with you. We'll do that after the episode.
Okay. All right, so let's do some first things first. What we got coming up?
We've got our first workshop coming up on June 8th.
Yes.
In McKinney, Texas. Now, a full day workshop. This is from 9 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Includes lunch.
And snacks.
Snacks, coffee, things like that. But a full day workshop where you will be working through issues, processing with Paige and me. And we are going to be having some process groups. We're going to be talking. We are going to bring some clarity to your situation. This is going to be extremely helpful and healing.
It's our first one ever. And you can connect with other people.
Yeah, connect with other people that are going through the same thing. We've got an agenda set up. You can check it out on our website at www.tufo.com. It's our first one ever, and I think it's going to be incredible. I would love to be able to do these things on a regular basis. This is the first one. We're going to try it out. And
see how it
goes. The following day, which is a Sunday, June 9th, we are going to have a meetup, completely free meetup, where you can come hang out, visit, ask questions, talk to other people. Yeah, it's going to be really cool.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
In the park, have some coffee and some stuff like that going on.
Yep.
More details on that to follow. We've already booked the space and everything set up. And so now we're just waiting on you.
Yeah.
So check it out. Love to see you guys there. Is that it for announcements? I think it's all we've got right
now. No, we still have a course.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Of course, the course.
Of course, we have the course.
Yeah. If you listen to the podcast and you've still got questions, like we created a course for that very reason.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes you're able to glean some insight from their podcast. You're able to understand a few things, maybe some new concepts you haven't thought of. But if you're looking for more clarity, that's what the course is for.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people ask us, like, is it right for me in this situation or that situation? Like, I've already left somebody, or I don't want to leave, or I don't know what to do or what's next. The answer is yes, yes, and yes. Uh-huh. It is right for you.
It's all about you.
Our mission is to veer, which means to change direction. And it's an acronym: validate, educate, empower, recover. That is our acronym. That's what we're after. That's what the course will deliver. Mm-hmm. You will never feel like someone understands you more than when you see Paige talking about your life, your experiences, and then what to do about it.
Yep.
If you're looking for answers, there are answers in the course. Mm-hmm. There are exercises you will have to go. I mean, it's work. Don't get me wrong. It is not easy. This is a lot of work.
Yeah,
when I say a lot of work, it's like self-work. Like, this is places you don't want to go, but you have to if you want to get to the other side of it.
It's the only
way
empowering.
Out is through.
Yeah.
Very empowering. Yeah. You will be so much stronger after this. Mm-hmm. The course is called Independently Strong.
Yeah.
And we are not out here trying to ask people to leave marriages ever.
No, like, it's all about you just becoming independent in yourself, just being strong with who you are, no matter where you are on your journey.
At the end of this, you will be able to answer the question for yourself: am I in the right place in my life right now? Mm-hmm. And you will know what to do next.
Yeah.
You won't have to ask questions or even question yourself. You will know. I promise you that. Mm-hmm. That's what the course is for. You can get 75% off with the code WHEELIES75. That's WHEELIES with an S, 75.
Yep. I think that's it.
Okay. All right.
All right. So what are we talking about today?
Let's talk about resentment and forgiveness.
Okay. So we've had an episode on this before.
Early on.
It was it was over a year ago, I believe. I think it was last March. And it was more, you know, like broad. It wasn't talking about what we deal with on a day-to-day basis with TUFO.
No.
It's a little bit different. So we're going to dig deeper into this topic because we've had a lot of questions on it in the community and on TikTok. So let's get started.
Okay. I think that I would love for couples to listen to this episode.
Yes, I agree.
So I'm going to approach this from as if I'm talking to two people that are working through it. So someone
in early recovery or in recovery, right?
Yeah.
In active addiction, I think
even in active addiction, you can gain something from it. I think that there's going to be a lot of things here to understand about why these conversations keep coming up, mm-hmm. and what you can do about it and how to make this thing better. And if you want to save your marriage, like, here's how we did it.
Yeah.
So I think that it's relevant for couples. I would love for people to be able to listen to this together.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'll be speaking, sounds like, to both or one or the other. Just it's intended for both people.
Okay.
I'm pretending there's two people on that couch over there.
Okay.
Essentially. So it started with a question that someone had asked, or a video that you'd posted.
No, it was a question someone asked.
Okay. What was the question?
Her partner was in treatment and he was saying, let's put the past in the past.
That's right.
And, you know, let's just move forward. And she had a problem with that. And I have a problem with that. And you have a problem with that. So what does it look like?
Yeah, this comes up a lot.
A lot.
A lot.
We see this in like AA groups too.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, but I can say for the ones that I've been part of, there's a lot of healthy recovery.
Mm-hmm.
I see this a lot of online forums.
Well, that's what I mean.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Yeah. I haven't been to like your groups, but I mean like online forums, I've seen it.
For sure. I think that a lot of people approach this topic of addiction and the betrayal that takes place in an addicted relationship, whether it's the lying, if it's infidelity, if it's just the dismissal and invalidation of feelings and all these things that cause tension.
Mm-hmm.
When someone decides they're going to get sober, they want to look at it like, listen, that was before, this is now. This is the new me. And from this moment forward, I'm going to be different. I'm changing. And we don't need to go back. We don't need to talk about all this crap that happened. That's not helpful to hark on the past when we need to move forward. We need to focus on this new life, this new person, this new mindset that we need to have. Like, let's start new. I think for a lot of people, that's how they first can like glean hope from something, is they can look forward to a brighter future. And I would say, yes, you're correct. You absolutely can, but you're going about it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Emotions buried alive never die.
Yeah.
You can't, it's like saying you want to arrive somewhere without ever actually leaving. Like, we have to address these things. We have to address these things.
Right. But a lot of these people will say that they have learned this in the program that they're in, from their sponsor, from therapy, from marriage counselors, from treatment centers. And they go in there and they say, the past is the past.
That is absolutely false. That has not been my experience, so that is BS.
Right. And I think that they are saying that for their own experience, like they have to learn to forgive themselves, but yes. It does not apply to your partner.
Yeah. So in addiction treatment, shame is a big topic, and it's something that a lot of people feel early on. I feel horribly for the things I've done, for the person that I was, but we all know, most people know that that's not a reflection of who I really am and what I really believe. That doesn't reflect me and my values. So it's really hard to look at those actions and acknowledge them and take accountability for them. It's easier to dismiss them and walk forward. And I encourage people when I work with them, addicts, we're speaking of someone who has a substance abuse problem right now, whether it's drugs or alcohol or whatever. You are not your addiction. I mean that. You are not your addiction.
Yeah.
Addiction is a disease of the mind. And under your right mind, you would have not have asked for this. No one signed up for this. We didn't mean to do this, right? It's not, as much as it is a choice, it doesn't feel like one. And I'm not doing it to anybody. I'm not trying to hurt anyone. So it's very innocent in that sense that I'm not trying to hurt, but the behaviors are not okay.
Yeah.
These things are not okay. And there are consequences for behaviors. You hurt people badly. And it's hard for people to hold those two things. Two things can be true, right? Mm-hmm. I could not have meant to hurt someone, and I can also have hurt someone very badly. And I have to take accountability for it, even if I didn't mean to do it.
Yeah.
It's no different than getting like a DWI or something, you know? Like the law is not going to say, well, you know, he seems like a good dude. We should just let him off. No, there are consequences.
No, there are consequences. Like, you have to own that. And you have to deal with that. And you have to hold yourself accountable for that.
Yeah, like no one's new to consequences. But when it comes to our own identity, it's really hard for people to not shift from guilt all the way to shame. Mm-hmm. Like addicts oftentimes lack what I call a guilt filter. So we go from, you can bring up something bad that I've done in the past. I don't have any guilt. It just goes straight to shame. I am horrible. I am a terrible person. I suck. I'm worthless. I'm meaningless. I'm better off just not being here. That's where we often go.
I go there sometimes.
Let's talk about that.
I've gone there before with like my mental illnesses and stuff and being anxious and depressed and not feeling worthy and my self-esteem was shot. I would go there. Somebody brings something up to me and I'm like, oh my gosh, it would just be better if I wasn't here.
Yeah, it's like the all or nothing thinking.
Yes, it is the all or nothing thinking. So I can relate. Absolutely. I know exactly what you're saying.
So what I try to do is to remind people that you are not these actions. You have done bad things, but you are not a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference, right? I screwed up versus I am a screw up.
Yeah.
In the beginning, that's how this is framed so that we can move forward through the addiction. Because without hope, what's the point of any of this? If I can't grow to be a happy, healthy person with vibrant, positive relationships in my life, what's the point? Mm-hmm. What's the point? So we have to tell people, listen, you don't need to live in the past. That doesn't mean that no one else can't.
Right.
That doesn't mean that other people can't address these things at times. It doesn't mean they can't share their feelings about how they've been hurt or harmed.
Yeah.
It just simply means that you are not these things. And two things can be true at once. Again, I am not my addiction, but I am responsible for the harm that I caused in my addiction. And I have to hold space for people in it. So a lot of people twist this, right? When they're in treatment. And I've heard this more times than I can count. And especially, and it happens in therapy too. It, sometimes even in 12-step programs, someone will say, like you mentioned, like my therapist or my counselor or whoever said that we don't need to worry about the past.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they said. Yeah. That is a minimization of the concept that we just discussed, which is you are not your addiction, although you have done some things that have hurt other people that you need to make right. It doesn't mean you just move past things. And I think that from a male perspective, this is common. Like this is common male stuff. And what I mean by that is like, take it back to when we're little boys in sports, right? We go up to the plate. We strike out, we walk back to the dugout, crying, upset, shame, you know, like I've let everyone down. I suck at this. I'm horrible. And we're told, just worry about the next one. Don't worry about that one. Just worry about the next one. Great athletes like Kobe and Jeter and those guys, they're known for being the greatest of all times, and Michael Jordan, because they had a short memory, mm-hmm. because they could forget about a mistake that they made and move past it and continue to be great. They didn't hark on the mistakes, But it's not to say they didn't learn from the mistakes. That's what they don't talk about in sayings like that.
Yeah.
It's not just forgetting about the mistake. It's you made a mistake. Okay. That doesn't define you. What can we learn from that mistake? How are we going to be better moving forward?
Right.
You use those mistakes as a tool.
Yeah. Like we've had that episode on failure is, you know,
no such thing as failure.
Yeah, exactly.
Until you just give up. Yeah. There's no such thing.
Right.
But I think it's like from a male perspective, like this permeates male culture. I can just speak as a male here. Just the guy that, yeah, we tell people like, dude, just move on, get over it. It's okay. Like just worry about the next one. There'd be, you know, there's plenty of fish in the sea. Like there's a million variations of this, but I think people misapply this when it comes to what's happened in your marriage, what's happened in your relationship, when it, the things that we have done and caused harm. I think that, and I'll let you speak for yourself here, but you wanted to move forward too, right? You looked forward to a better marriage one day.
Yeah.
So it's not to say that you guys don't like talk.
No,
for,
but
talk
it's
about
not. But it's not like I can just say, oh, I'm just going to forgive and forget. I'm just going to let go of the things that happened in the past. It doesn't work that way because I'm not feeling safe until you start proving to me over and over again that these behaviors are not going to happen again. And that takes accountability and it takes action and it takes a lot of work.
And that's not a punishment and it's not a requirement either. But I think that it is a request. And I think that if you want a happy relationship, if you want what we have, you need to do that.
Yeah.
That has to be part of it.
Yeah.
I have never seen anyone just forget about it and move on and find that to be any sort of long-term plan for success in a relationship ever. It eventually comes back up.
Yeah,
we say it all the time. Emotions buried alive never die. These things will dig themselves up.
Yeah, because it's my life too. It's not just your life.
Right.
I was a part of this life. Therefore, when you say, let's just put the past behind you, you're telling me that my emotions, my feelings, and my experience doesn't matter.
Yeah, I'm saying that my feelings are more important than yours.
Than mine. And then that's just going to make me feel even lower. Like there's no empathy there. And that's important to have in a relationship.
You have to have empathy.
Yes.
You have to. So I think kind of to where we started, like this idea that we just move past it and it gets bastardized, this whole idea that we just move past these things. We just forget about them. Let's just keep chugging. Let's not worry about all that stuff. No, time out. We need to take a step back. That's for you. That's not for everyone around you.
Exactly.
As someone who has struggled from addiction most of my life, like I can tell you, like I know why that's important because I could have never moved forward if I didn't accept myself in the beginning.
Yeah.
I couldn't accept myself. How was I ever going to allow anyone else to forgive me if I couldn't forgive myself for these things?
Right. And in order for, you have to forgive yourself. And once you forgive yourself, it's easier for you to take accountability for the things you did and how you harmed somebody else.
Yeah. Like, it's sort of like that thing, like, you can't hurt me if I've already said it.
Exactly.
Loud.
Right.
You know, yeah. There's a better way to say that.
I know what you're saying. Mean? Yeah, for sure.
Like you can't hurt me with information I've already volunteered.
Yeah.
You can't use it against me.
So what about like in early recovery when they say, okay, don't bring up what we did in the past because you're just going to trigger me.
Listen, your triggers are your responsibility.
Agreed.
And here's what I did. I had a healthy recovery group that I would frequent. It was a 12-step group. But outside of that, I also had people in my life that were either sober and they had been through this before, or they were just growth-minded individuals, people that took accountability for their actions, who had made a lot of mistakes. This is like people in my professional life and move past them. Mm-hmm. And so I surrounded myself with these people. And anytime that this stuff would come up, I would reach out or I would hear stories and going to meetings and things like that from people who had dealt with this and how they addressed it. The sickest of the relationships that I see personally are those in which someone has just stopped drinking and they'll sort of like performatively go to an AA meeting a month, or they'll go to counseling once a month or every other week or something like that. Like there's no real work being done.
Yeah.
Think about it. If you wanted to get fit, what happens if you work out or eat right once a week?
Exactly.
Nothing.
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 No.
Absolutely nothing.
No, you're not building any positive habits or discipline there.
In recovery, like we're trying to get shredded. Like
yes.
Like yes. Mind shredded.
Yes.
Like absolutely. You have to, it has to be frequent, right? This has to be something that's repeated, almost beat into your head to the point where you're like, okay, I get it now. Because you have to have enough experiences from others to recall when this happens to you, because it will, something will come up. You could say something to me and I feel shame. I don't get to tell you can't feel a certain way.
Yeah, and your shame or that isn't it's not mine helpful. To have, though.
Listen, there comes a point, and we've talked about this, but it is so circumstantial, and the context of it is so specific, but people like to throw this out there like it happens all the time. Let's say, so I will celebrate 11 years sober on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
11 years removed from this thing now. I have taken accountability for my actions. I have recovered. I continue You've to help other people. Behavior. I've changed my behaviors. I am a different person. Almost mm-hmm. unrecognizable.
Yeah.
If you woke up Saturday morning and you jumped my ass for something that happened 11 years ago, I would still, to this day, hold space for that. I would let you know it's okay that you feel this way. I understand why you feel this way. But if you wanted to be upset about it, at some point it does turn to you, and your healing is your responsibility mm-hmm. because I have done all the things that we just mentioned.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't really happen. But people like to throw it out there like it's gonna happen. And so it's almost like a can't win, don't try sort of situation where it's like, what's the point? They're just gonna keep bringing it up. And that's not true. That's just not true. Mm-hmm. It's not been my experience or the experience of anyone else that I've worked with. Yeah. I'll tell you that right now.
I mean, I have to applaud you. There have been things throughout the years that I have, you know, brought up multiple times because I had been scarred from it for so long because the pattern happened for so long that it took years for you to give me space and still say, you know, I'm still working on it. You know, I'm still showing behaviors. I'm sorry that I did that back in the day, you know, but you always had that space for me to bring it up to you. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. Day one. See, I was taught this. I didn't just come up with this on my own. Again, I was taught this, which is why community is really important, that you are allowed to heal on your terms and on your time. My job was to keep doing the next right thing, to be the person that I said that I would be, and let the chips fall as they may. I can't control you. I can't control your feelings or how you're going to feel about anything. And I can't shame you for feeling any way because you wouldn't be feeling that way if I hadn't done it in the first place.
Yeah.
So I took ruthless accountability for that. And I just let you have your space.
Why is it important for my healing process for you to have to acknowledge that you did wrong?
Because it's about accountability.
Right.
It's accountability. And any relationship without accountability is no relationship at all. You have to have accountability for your actions.
But also it provides a safe space for me.
Yeah. You can't feel safe with someone if you're not accountable. Like mm-hmm. if I can't say I did this thing, I feel badly that I hurt you. What I did was wrong. What can I do to make that right? Make an amends, essentially. There is no basis for trust or openness or vulnerability or any sort of honest communication in the future.
Like, so, and that's why it's hard for us to just say, all right, forget the past. Let's just move on. Let's just move forward. Because we can't be trusted that you're going to change your behaviors.
Yeah.
Until you hold yourself accountable and say, hey, I'm trying. Let me, you know, I apologize for that. Let me see what I can do better. What can I do better?
Yeah. So let's break it down. Why does someone keep bringing things up? They're looking for reassurance that things are going to be okay. Mm-hmm. That's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes I find that when you're breaking things up, there's a reason for it. Sometimes it's just unresolved, which is for a lot of these things, it's just unresolved. We've never really addressed it. And you'll notice a behavior that reminds you of it. And so it triggers it. It brings it back. It's right back to the forefront. So unresolved trauma is like the first piece of it.
Yeah. And it's okay for me to feel the way I feel.
Yes.
And it's okay for me to bring it up. And how you react is not on me because I bring something up that is how I feel. Again, it's all about you guys if we have to keep our mouths shut on this stuff.
Yeah.
That's frustrating.
It has to be. I've never been in, well, actually I have, but uh-huh. in a different situation.
Yeah.
But never been in like you, I wasn't in your shoes, obviously, but what people are doing is they're looking for assurance that it's safe. That it's okay, that you can come out of the storm shelter now. Everything's okay. The tornado is gone. And that's what they're doing. They're essentially just looking for that. And that starts with validation, saying like, I understand why you would feel that way. Validating is not agreeing with something that you disagree with. It's simply having enough empathy to be able to put yourself in that person's shoes and understand why they would have that emotion. Mm-hmm. Letting them know their emotion is okay. You can have that emotion. It's totally fine.
Yeah. But I think that's a lot of the reason why our marriage has been able to move through all of this is because you did take accountability and held space for me. And I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. But it's, I think it's like the bare minimum bar, honestly. Like, I think that this should take place in any relationship, but in these types of relationships, I think that you are absolutely doomed.
It is very rare, Matt, to have that acknowledgement.
Shouldn't be.
Well, I know that, but that's just the reality of it. And that's why we're here. And that's why we're trying to have this conversation. And we're having all of these conversations is to bring awareness to it.
Yeah. So when your wife is bringing up the past, as people often put it, it's nothing more than her just seeking safety.
Yeah.
Just wanting to know that, like, the assurance that there is accountability, that it's not gonna there, happen. That it won't happen. You won't hurt me again. Mm-hmm. That's all they're doing. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
So if you've never addressed it, why do you think they keep bringing it up?
So do you have an example of how a partner can bring this up to somebody that's struggling? Like, how can they bring it up and have their partner hear them? Instead of being, you know, accusatory. You know,
it starts with, okay, so you can say whatever you want. There is no right or wrong way to say it necessarily. Mm-hmm. You can have the most perfect, eloquent words in the world, but if this person is in a position where they don't agree that the past is important, it's pointless.
Yeah.
So it starts with the person, we'll call them the betrayer, right?
Okay.
The person that has betrayed the trust.
Yes.
That's what I meant by that. So
yeah.
The person who's betrayed the trust. It starts with me. Mm-hmm. So I have to be okay with me first. I have to be okay with who I am. I have to be okay with the things I've done, that I've hurt people, but that there is hope, that you are not this person. You don't have to be this person forever, that you can move forward. And there are still some people to this day who still tear me apart. Like, oh, I don't care who you are today. What you did is unforgivable. I'm like, you can have that belief. That's fine. I disagree, but that's fine. But you have to be okay with that.
Yeah.
So that it starts with that, or else nothing else here matters. But when it comes to how do you bring something up from the past that's hurt you, you can simply say, when X happened, I felt. So,
or I feel when this happened.
I always screw those up. Yeah. I feel when you. So if I were to come home late, this happened a few times because mm-hmm. I was the type of guy that would just make it like send all kinds of crazy texts about, oh, I've got to stay late at work, or I've got to run an errand. I have to go meet a customer, and I would be gone for like 3 or 4 hours, but I was just buying pills or getting high or getting drunk or just doing whatever. So me running late was like a very big deal in our relationship. Mm-hmm. And after I got sober, it's not like I could avoid being late forever. It still happened. When I would come home, you would be upset, visibly upset. I would notice it right away and I'd be like, are you okay? And you would be kind of short about it. And sometimes you would flip out. You would be like, you're running late again and you didn't tell me why you were running late and I just don't trust you. And it's like, I have in that moment a decision to make. I can either respond in defense or I can just let it fly. So once again, it starts with me. I've just let you talk. And at the end of it, I would say, I understand why you felt that way. Completely understand. I would feel the same way.
Was that hard for you to do?
No, it really wasn't. No, when I approached it in like knowing what was happening, I knew why you felt that way. And I understood I would feel the same way because I had empathy. I would feel the same way
that
if
right there.
I were you. No, duh, she's freaking out. It's okay though.
Yep.
But you've gotten better about it now to where you'll say, you're almost frustrated with yourself now where it's like,
no,
I don't know why I did it, but I was reminded of an old behavior when you were late. You would say it like that.
Yeah.
And so now we're having a conversation about it. You're not attacking me for making you feel any sort of way. You own the emotion by saying, I felt anxious or I felt upset. I was even mad at myself when you were 30 minutes late. Mm-hmm. That's a healthier way to approach it.
Yeah.
If you're going to come at somebody and say, you're responsible for all my feelings, and this person is not in a healthy space in recovery, if it's early on, especially when it's just very new, it's probably going to result in an argument.
Yeah.
I would implore the person who's had problems with substance abuse to do what I said. Empathy. It starts with empathy. Mm-hmm. What would you do? How would you feel if someone had done the exact same thing to you for many, many years? How would you feel in that moment? Is it reasonable to feel like they are right now? Yes, it is. Okay, so just let them feel that way for a moment. And then you can have a conversation about it. I don't defend myself. I have never, in 11 years, I don't think I've ever said, I've not been that person for 11 years. You need to get over it. Have I ever said that?
No. No, I mean, Well, you've said some things like, okay, you know, I'm working on it. You'll get frustrated. You will get frustrated with some things that I've said. And you're like, oh, I'm working on it. Just, you know, why can't you trust me? And there's one big thing that we've had arguments about that you really were getting frustrated with me over. So no, you've been frustrated as well.
Okay. Yeah. And what she's referring to, it wasn't like drug seeking behavior or anything like that.
Yeah.
This was a, God, so that's the way to put this. It is a, it's a relationship that's got a lot of jagged edges and it's been tough to navigate.
Yeah.
And I've had to take a step back, but someone very close to me that bad things would happen and I would just keep going back to them, keep going back. And like there was a pattern there where I'd get sucked back in and then,
yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, you're right. Like you would bring things up and it's like, I'm trying. I'm working on it. Like that's the most I can give you at that point.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
You know, but I, once again, like guilt and shame,
right.
Like, I can feel badly, but these don't define me. Like yeah. I'm not taking it personally to the level that like I feel bad about myself where I feel like I need to defend myself. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important too, to acknowledge when you see change and when you see growth, because you were always really good about that.
Yeah.
And it made it easier for me to want to be more honest and more forthcoming and more open about everything that I was going through, because you would say things like when you noticed a good behavior, you would let me know.
No, for sure.
You would always let me know. Like you would acknowledge it and like praise me for it. And you didn't have to do that. Like I wasn't owed any of that, but I think it's helpful in rebuilding a marriage to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I think that really helped with some of the resentment that was there.
Yeah.
But back to this accountability piece, like why mm-hmm. is accountability important? If you were going to say to somebody, let's not focus on the past, let's move forward. You are making a unilateral decision for two people, which is not the basis of a marriage. That's not how marriage works.
No.
I'm saying that my feelings of shame are more important than everything I put you through.
Ooh.
That's what I'm doing, that's basically.
That's so powerful when you say it like that. It's true, though.
So think about that. Think about that when you say, let's not talk about the past. I'm saying that my feelings of shame are more important than everything that you feel. Mm-hmm. And you don't get to talk about your feelings because mine are more important.
Yeah.
That is basically how, when you break it down, that's the equation that you're saying, is that I am greater than you. Mm-hmm. My feelings are greater than yours. We are going to focus on what I need versus what you need. We always approach it as a we thing.
Yeah, like a we thing. For sure.
But I've always taken a much larger responsibility for getting us to where we are today mm-hmm. than you did.
Yeah.
Because I was the betrayer. I was the one that caused these things. I was the one that did this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's no different than if you're talking about recovering from like an affair or anything else. Like it starts with openness and honesty. I think another thing that makes this easier is your actions have to back up with what's coming out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. Like you have to be able to walk the walk. You can't just say you're going to do things. You can't just talk about how you're going to be more honest. You need to be more honest. You need to go to a meeting. You need to go to therapy on a regular basis.
You have to do the work.
Work on this stuff.
Yeah.
And things will get better, because even if you just show up, it will get better. Just showing up, you were going to pick up information that's going to get better. But I was forthright and open in everything. Like I was like, you can ask me any question. You can say anything you need to say. You can look at my phone, whatever it is that you need. I want you to know that you're safe. Once again, you're safe. Mm-hmm. That helps things not come up as often mm-hmm. because you know that like, oh, he's being open. Like, okay. I think it kind of puts the ball back in your court about your feelings. Say, okay, I'm having these feelings now, even though he's doing the right thing, I've got some stuff to deal with, which is like where Tufo came from in the first place. Mm-hmm. But eventually you get to a point where when you've taken enough accountability, like you give them permission to begin to heal. That's how their recovery starts, is when we give them permission through accountability to let them know the tornado has passed. We can come out of the storm shelter now.
Yes.
It's okay.
Yes.
I'm going to take accountability for all these things. I'm going to work through these things. But without that, what's the point of being married? Like, why are you even together? Mm-hmm. We really want to know. What's the point? What kind of marriage is that? You're just going to sit around and like, what? Talk about the weather?
Yeah.
Watch TV, pretend like everything's cool when it's not? Nobody wants to be in that kind of relationship. They don't. And they're lying to themselves if they say that they do.
Yeah, for sure.
Even if you were raised as a male in a type of environment where you didn't talk about feelings and didn't talk about emotions, But even you have to admit that that sounds miserable.
Yeah.
It's my experience is that if you don't address these things, they're going to come back in a different way because you're going to get resentment.
Yeah. And here's the thing too, is that a lot of us were very supportive towards y'all during active addiction or whatnot. You know, we were there for you, trying to hold space for you. We empathized with you. But then when it's our turn, we don't get the same, you know, we don't get the same treatment. And it's like, that sucks.
Yeah.
Like, again, it's still all about you.
Once again, all the focus is on the addict.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is our life too. Like I said earlier, this is our life too. You are married. This is not either one of you. It's interdependent. That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. And I think that addicts a lot of times have problem with empathy. And I don't know the exact science behind all this, but here's the way that it felt to me was that every time I had an uncomfortable emotion, I knew how to make that go away. And I would take a substance. It was an anesthetic. It just numbed me.
Okay, yeah.
Right? But in numbing myself, I was never actually dealing with anything. So sobriety taught me to process emotions from the beginning all the way to the end uninterrupted. And it's incredibly difficult to do in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like really, really difficult to do. But if you're having trouble with empathy, here's what I do. I can look at my life experiences. At some point, I've been hurt by something. And you're lying if you say you've never been hurt, never had your feelings hurt. You never knew what it was like to be left out. You never got picked on. You never got called fat or ugly or any of these things. Every human walking the planet knows what it's like to be hurt. Mm-hmm. So you know what hurt feels like. So frame that hurt in your partner's eyes. What does she feel when I did this? She felt the exact same effing way you felt when that sixth grade girl declined you at the dance or
times 10.
Or your mother disregarded you when you would cry or when your father would beat you or any of those things. She felt the same way. It's the same way for her. Mm-hmm. Remember how bad that felt? That's how she feels. In those moments, you can look at someone and say, they are not the enemy. They are not doing these things to pick on me or to remind me of how sorry I am. They are hurt. Mm-hmm. And you have to have empathy for that.
Yeah.
Empathy is just putting yourself, how are they feeling in this moment? Let me put myself in their shoes. How would they have felt when I did this? And for some people, that's too much to overcome in the beginning. Like, it's so much.
Which I understand. And you can
feel horrible.
You can go listen to our episode on how to communicate with somebody in early recovery, because it is a bit tricky it comes to that. But I do want people addicts understand, don't dismiss your partner's feelings. It's an important part of both of your recovery to acknowledge the hurt that's been done.
Yeah. And I think from a recovery standpoint, accountability is very, very, very beneficial.
Oh, for sure.
Very beneficial. For me, time plus pain equals change. And if I'm not in enough pain, I'm not going to change. I have a high pain tolerance. I have to be in a lot of pain. You have to get my attention somehow. Mm-hmm. For pain is how it worked for me. I had to experience enough negative consequence to get my attention to say that something needs to change.
Yeah.
Accountability is a great way to do that. And it's a healthy way to do that. Because when I take accountability for things, I have to actually consider what I've done. Mm-hmm. I have to write it out on paper. I have to talk to someone about it. It's right there. Yeah. I'm looking at it. I can't avoid it. It's right there. You'll see that it's not going to be the end of the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you were so graceful in your forgiveness of me. And I think that that's a pretty common attribute from a lot of the people that we work with. It's like, they want to forgive. Like, they want to move forward. Like, no one wants to get divorced.
Yeah.
Like, no one wants to just say F at all. Like, no one wants to do those things. They're put in the position where you leave them no choice. If the price for your marriage is accountability, is that too high of a price to pay?
Really? Yeah.
Is that really? And if that's the case, then like, you ain't worth it. Like, that is a low price. Mm-hmm. That is a very low price for a very high payoff. It's to simply say that I did these things, I'm accountable for these things, and you're allowed to feel however you need to feel about these things.
Yeah.
My promise to you is that I will change my behaviors, my actions will change in doing the work. And it's not complicated.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And things get better.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you are in recovery, we also offer relationship building to where we can help you navigate together on how to deal with the forgiveness and take accountability and talk with both of us to try to get you through it too.
Yeah. It works best when someone is in a program of some kind. Like, we don't offer a substitute for addiction recovery. So if you are in active addiction or you're like a month out, like it's, let's give it like 90 days.
Yeah. This is just
once it's established, it's really, really beneficial. I mean, absolutely. Like talking about supercharging your growth and recovery. Mm-hmm. I think that, I don't know if there's anyone else doing what we're doing when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Like a couple that's been through it, working others through it like that.
Yep. Yeah, but I wanted to backtrack just a little bit. What does forgiveness look like with somebody in active addiction? Because we get a lot of people in the community who will say, I'm so resentful. How do I get rid of this resentment? What's the truth on that?
Why would you?
Yeah.
Like use it to do something, to make a change.
Right. Kind of like our anger episode last week.
If someone's still in active addiction, you're resentful. Like that's a natural reaction, I would think, to ongoing abuse.
You cannot forgive somebody who is continuously hurting you like over and over again. If the pattern is still happening, if the behaviors are still occurring, you can't forgive that. So that's when you have to make the change within yourself to move forward or figure out what you need to do next.
Yeah. Like there are different types of people that are attracted to like till the wheels fall off. And there is some group of them that want to know the magical answer of how can I be happy when this is still going on? And my answer is that like, that's not what we do here.
No.
Like we are not going to teach you to gaslight yourself to tolerate abuse. That's not what that I right will there. Ever do.
Yeah.
Like there are programs that do that, I think. Not naming any names, but they're out there. I think we all know what they are. And there's a lot of that that takes place in there.
Right.
But if you're resentful, you should be.
Yes.
That is your everything. That's your soul channel screaming it. At you. Do something different. Get me out of here. Yes. I can't take this anymore.
Right. So if you're asking that question and you're like, I don't want to feel this way anymore, there is no magical way to change that. There's no magical thing within your relationship that's going to change that except for change.
Yeah.
Like you have to make a change.
You have to make a change. Yeah. At some point you do.
And then what about whenever somebody leaves the situation and they have a lot of resentment towards their ex who is still causing some problems, but they're not really in their lives, but maybe they still have to be in their lives because they have children.
Yeah, this is more...
This is more complicated.
This is a bit more complicated.
Yes.
So you're talking about someone who's removed themselves from that relationship.
Yes.
And how do they find forgiveness for somebody?
Yes.
I think that you can frame it however you want, but you have to reframe your anger, reframe your resentment. Mm-hmm. So if you are out of that environment now, things are likely getting better for you in some ways. Now, it might not be easier all the time, right? It might be harder to pay bills alone. It might be harder to sleep alone. It might be harder not to have the support when raising your child or something like that. But you can look at your life and say, things are much better. Mm-hmm. Like they're calmer around here. Like I'm not in fight or flight mode all the time. I'm not in survival mode. And you can see that person who's out there struggling. And I think that that's when you can really look at them and say, like, they are a sick person. Like they're sick, like genuinely sick. Like we talk about the disease model of addiction.
Right. This is where the compassion comes in.
Yeah. You can have compassion for someone and understand that in their right mind, they wouldn't choose to do this. They're extremely sick, but you don't have to be around in the line of fire for it.
Right. And also forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is for yourself.
Yeah. You're not condoning anything when forgive.
You're not letting go of your values or your boundaries or condoning. You're not doing any of that when you forgive somebody. When you're forgiving, it is you're just letting go of that anger and you're not allowing it to affect you anymore.
Man, like there's a way to frame this, and it's like it's tricky because there's absolute validity to like not everything deserves forgiveness. Like that's valid.
I agree.
Completely agree with that. Like I don't encourage everyone, like you just need to forgive. Like that's not anything
you used
I've ever
to have
believed.
That mentality.
It's things have changed for me, right?
Where you just said this is something I never believed.
Okay, well maybe I did it.
Remember the whole stray cat thing?
Resentments like stray cats, they go away when you stop feeding them.
Yes.
I still believe that.
Well, I believe that too, but not for everything.
No, there are some things where like if you're encouraging just forgive, okay, so why are we forgiving? Right? So if we're forgiving this person so we can move forward together, that's not the right reason to forgive.
Right.
That's not. Mm-mm. I was able to find forgiveness in some really, really tough situations only when I was able to see how those experiences benefited me in some way. Like they made me stronger. Mm-hmm. And for that, I was grateful. So in some ways I could forgive, but I will a lot of the ways never forgive the actions. It's like, that's not okay. It wasn't okay to do.
Yeah.
Not okay.
Yeah.
Like, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I think that you forgive for yourself, but I like not everything is forgivable. It should be a different term. I feel like that term has been, or that word has been like watered down or something. I don't know. People misunderstand.
Man, I think that people, they confuse forgiveness with reconciliation.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's what our first episode discusses.
And so saying like, I forgive you is the same as saying like, it's okay. Come on back. And that's not true.
That's not true. No. But, and some people might say, well, when are you going to forgive me? You know, why can't you just forgive me? It's like, well, what does forgiveness mean to you? To me, it sounds like you want me to condone your bad behavior.
Or you want a free pass.
Or you want a free pass, or you just want to forget the past and move on and not take any responsibility.
So how did you forgive me?
How did I forgive you? It took time with you showing me your different behaviors and with you having open conversations with me and you taking accountability and responsibility. And that's how I forgave you. There will be people on the internet though, that says that I haven't forgiven you, that I have a lot of resentment towards you.
Whatever.
And I just laugh when I see that. Let me just say that, because I have no resentment towards you.
Yeah, I think forgiveness for me anyway, it's possible when you can look at your life and say like the benefits that now outweigh the costs.
Absolutely.
But it has to match up. But that won't be the case for every situation and every scenario, you know?
Yeah.
Like there would be some things that are just unforgivable.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've abused a child, unforgivable.
Yeah.
Unforgivable. Mm-hmm. How could you ever forgive that?
Yeah.
You don't. But like I've known people that have been through that. And in some ways, they were able to forgive the action, but not the abuser themselves. Was it the other way around? No, it was the other way around. Action, abuser, but not the action.
Yeah.
That's what
you
it was.
You have to separate the two, what it was. It's or like, whatnot.
They can mm-hmm. understand that person extremely yes. sick and yes. beyond effed up.
Mm-hmm.
Having, God knows what they went through that put them in a position where they thought that was a good idea.
Yeah.
And they can say, I can forgive like that, but the action, absolutely not and never.
Yeah.
And like, apology accepted, access denied.
Right. But I'm not going to hold on to that resentment forever.
Yeah.
But there will always be a piece in you, I think, you know, that's going to be unhealed.
Like you for know? You, is there a piece of you that's still unhealed? I mean, I think I know the answer to this question, but still unhealed from some of the things that took place?
I think so. Yeah. Because that was part of the wiring of my brain. You know, the things that we went through, that's part of the, there are parts that are always going to be there. But the good outweighs that part now.
Right. So it's like, you can look at it and say, okay, on the whole now I have more positive experiences than the negative.
Mm-hmm.
So then it becomes the norm that it's more of a positive. Like when you think about it, like the color of that emotion in your mind is no longer red.
Yeah.
It is now blue or green or something mm-hmm. more pleasant.
For sure.
It's not so bad anymore. But in the beginning, how could it not be bad? If you're still in it, how could it not be bad?
Yeah.
And I challenge people to do something with that emotion other than stew in it, sit in it, and hope that it fixes itself.
Yeah.
Because it probably won't.
No.
It won't.
No, change has to be made.
Yeah. And there is something to be said about like not saying anything at all, not speaking up, and just pretending like it doesn't exist is in some way condoning the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people do that too.
Like, yeah.
A lot of spouses don't know what to do about this. Like, what do I do? Like, he doesn't listen to me. Should I just shut up about it? No.
No.
But I think that actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
If you're that unhappy, then don't tolerate it.
Right. And that takes time.
Yeah, it does. It's a process. Like, believe me, it's a process.
Oh, yeah. But I did want to switch just a second to forgiving of the spouses, of myself, like the things that I did. And I think a lot of our listeners are going to want to understand this part, because they don't talk about that we have guilt as well, and there's shame that goes along with some of the things that we did.
Do you mean like for how was I so dumb to allow this to happen
in a way? But
or
then,
like, what about are some of the things that you may have said to me or done to me?
Maybe some of the things that I would have that I had said to you, or the way that I acted in survival mode, or for minimizing things, you know, like there's a lot of guilt that would
putting
go along
your kids
with that.
In harm's way,
putting the kids in that, yeah, and then allowing it to happen for a while. I did have to forgive myself for that. Even in other situations, you know, allowing access to me when I knew that I was being harmed, and then I had to forgive myself for allowing that. So But the problem, the thing is with these situations too, is that when you're in it, you don't really know, you know, you don't really know how bad it is. You don't know that you are not living by your values, but I had to forgive myself for not living by my values.
And time frame wise, what did that look like?
Oh, this just comes off in layers. It's not a quick thing. Years. Years. Because there's some things that you don't even see that you did until years later, just like you.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't the best mom for the first couple years of my kids' lives because I was in like survival mode. And I wasn't, I allowed.
And that was me sober.
That was you sober. And that I allowed my, you know, anxiety and depression and mental health and all that stuff to take over, and my overthinking and all of that, to where I wasn't even present with my children because I wasn't feeling safe. And that was something I had to forgive myself for.
Yeah. That's a long road. That's a long road. This is all a long road. This is all.
Yeah.
A long road,
it doesn't happen quickly, but it's okay. I mean, I know that some people want to learn how to forgive themselves if they leave. Some people need to learn how to forgive themselves for staying too long, you know, forgiving themselves for raising their children, you know, for years and years in the toxicity that you know could be harmful to them. And then forgiving yourselves for losing yourself. Like I had to forgive myself for that, for losing my identity, for being isolated all the time.
I mean, it's not so different than what I had to go through too in the beginning.
No, it's not. Like my life was not early. I didn't have the normal 20-year-old life. Like you weren't the kind of person who went out to parties and bars and stuff like that. We stayed home.
Yeah, we were hermit crabs.
We were hermits. And I had to forgive myself for not living my life based on my values.
Yeah, man. It's a journey for both people. And once again, this, which is why I think the absurdity of the comment, we don't need to talk about the past, is just blows my mind.
Yeah.
But everyone who's been around you has been affected in some way. And they're not shaming you by saying that they were hurt by it. You're a big boy. Deal with it. Suck it up. You can handle it. It's not the worst thing in the world to take some accountability.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish it off if you're cool. I've wrote something out here.
Okay.
Kind of like a synopsis, because we don't read whenever we do episodes. We just kind of talk, let this thing flow organically.
Yes.
But I want to make sure we got all of our points here. I'll just read this real quick.
Okay.
And this is the basis of this is, I think, what I've seen and what happened in our marriage is, I think more than anything, like you just want someone to get it. Like you need to know how much you've hurt me. You need to know. And it's not so I can like beat you up. It's because it's so serious. Like I need to know that you're going to do something about it, or I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. That's the seriousness of it. That's how bad it hurts. It's like one of those kinds of hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So one big reason couples struggle after one partner betrays the other's trust due to addiction is that the addicted partner often doesn't fully grasp how much they've hurt their partner. Understanding and empathy are key to healing the hurt caused by broken trust. When addiction damages the trust in a relationship, it feels like a punch to the gut for the betrayed partner. Initially, all they can think about is feeling safe again. At first, it seems crazy to even consider giving the addicted partner another chance. But over time, if the addicted partner shows they're truly sorry and committed to making things right, the betrayed partner might start thinking about giving things another shot. But before that can happen, the betrayed partner needs to feel like the addicted partner truly gets how much they've hurt them and genuinely regrets it. Anything less makes the betrayed partner wonder if their partner really cares or even wants to care. Early on, it's crucial that both partners really want to understand each other and work on getting better emotionally. While there are no guarantees, certain signs indicate progress toward healing. So why someone keeps bringing up the past? Why the hurt person keeps bringing up the past? Until the hurt partner feels like the addicted partner truly understands how much they've been hurt, they'll keep bringing it up. Many addicted partners see this as a way to make them feel bad, but really, the hurt partner just wants to heal and feel close again. If the addicted partner admits they've been selfish and messed up early on, the hurt partner starts to feel safer and begins to heal. This is like you give them permission to start to heal when they see that you're serious about it. Mm-hmm. It's nothing. It's no more complicated than that.
Yeah.
It's just that.
Yeah.
I understand. I feel badly that I've hurt you. I see where I've hurt you. Mm-hmm. I want to make things right. That gives you the cues to say, okay, we can move forward.
Yeah.
It doesn't start until you do that though.
Right.
So, this is a paradox because this sadness, this grief, this horrible conversation or series of conversations actually kickstart the healing process, believe it or not.
Boom.
So if the addicted partner stays stubborn and doesn't take responsibility for their actions, the hurt partner feels stuck and cannot imagine a healthy relationship. It's scary if their partner doesn't seem to care about their pain or won't talk about how their actions hurt them. After being hurt, the hurt partner doesn't feel like they matter to their partner anymore. Only by truly understanding each other's feelings can they start to rebuild the connection. And so often, addicted partners brush off their partner's concerns or say they don't want to talk about it anymore. Even if they try to take responsibility, their unwillingness to face the reality of what they've done leaves their partner feeling stuck, unimportant, and unloved. In these situations, the addicted partner is saying their own discomfort matters more than their partner's pain. That's what's really being said.
Yeah.
Healing and making things right are possible, but it's important for the addicted partner to acknowledge the seriousness of what they've done. If you're the addicted partner, listen to your partner and be ready for a long journey of healing. Your effort to understanding will go a long way in rebuilding trust.
Mm.
I've seen more times than I can count people that I've actually worked through. Like the 12 steps have this built into them.
Yeah.
They have a 9th and 10th step. Mm-hmm. It's when you make a list of people that you've harmed. Or sorry, an 8th and 9th step, where you make a list of people you've harmed and then you make amends to them. It's what I did was wrong. I feel badly that I've hurt you. What can I do to make that right?
Yeah.
And the last part, what can I do to make that right? That is a verb. That is an action phrase. Yes. That is not to say sorry. I don't even let people say sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, it might come out because it's...
Because
I feel badly what I've done. I feel badly that I've hurt you. What I did was wrong. What can I do to make that right?
And amends happen throughout your life.
There are different types of amends, right? So there's like financial amends. Let's say that I've stolen money from someone.
Yeah.
Financial amends would be like, okay, I understand all that, but you owe me $500. Like that's how you can start to make things right. Like, you got it. I owe $500. I'll pay you $500.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're emotional and it's a lot of pain. Like your lying has left me unable to trust anyone, even myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I can't fix that today.
No.
I can't fix that with an apology or any words. That's going to be actions over years.
Right.
That's going to be me doing the right thing over a very long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's at some point, once again, the ball's in your court. You'll have to decide whether or not I'm trustworthy.
Yes.
You'll have to say, okay, well, he's been trustworthy. I can see that. I appreciate that. Now it's within me.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have to allow myself to do that.
Right.
You know, and then there's living amends, which is like some people don't, you don't have the opportunity to make amends with. Either they passed away, they don't ever want to talk to you again. And for those types of people, we truly just do the next right thing
mm-hmm.
at all times. Like integrity is doing the right thing when no one's watching.
Right.
And that's sort of what we're doing here.
Yeah.
It's like just making living amends to people. But I've seen this so many times, is where there are men that just say, I'm just going to make living amends. That's just what I'm going to do. They decide what the amends look like for everyone around them by just doing the right thing.
That's another way of trying to do it. I know you mean
well, but that's not how this works.
Yeah.
It's just not how it works.
You have to acknowledge other people.
Listen to them.
Yeah.
There might be an actual action that they would like to see. There are so many wheelies that have not gotten their day in court
mm-hmm.
when it comes to this.
I agree.
Someone who has just quit drinking and gone dry
mm-hmm.
and they will decide, here's what I've done wrong in my eyes. Here's what I'm going to do to change it moving forward mm-hmm. in my eyes, without ever bringing the other person into consideration and asking them, what would you need to see from me to feel safe again?
Mm.
What would you need to see from me to trust me again? What could I do? And the answer in the beginning is going to be like, I don't even know.
Yeah, but exactly.
Keep asking.
But even bringing that up is a huge, like we're really open to things.
Yeah.
You know, just talk to us.
Want to make things work.
Yes. Be vulnerable, open, talk to us. And it'll help the process go by easier for you.
But listen, like we don't get to decide how other people move on and recover.
No.
It's not my decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one who offended. I'm the one who did the harm. You get to decide how and when you recover, right? But at some point it becomes your responsibility. Mm-hmm. If I'm doing everything. And I think that's where people get things twisted a lot, is because they want us to be like, well, am I just going to get killed forever on this? I don't know, maybe, but probably not. My experience has been that no, that's not the case. Once they have enough good experiences to outweigh the bad, that's when forgiveness really happens.
Yeah. And they still might bring it up more than once, and you need to be prepared for that. Like, yeah. So be it. So be it.
You are not your addiction. You are not a horrible person. You've right. done bad things that you need to make right on.
There you go.
That's it.
Yeah.
So drop it with the poor me. Oh no, you're beating me up. Man, that's come on now. Not what people are trying to do.
No.
You've hurt them.
Yeah.
Right. Have empathy and compassion for the people that you've hurt and make these things right. You're never going anywhere, not just in your marriage, but in life, if you cannot take accountability. You know how many books are written about accountability and applied to business, like the professional world? Like, it is crucial to organizations. You know what organization in the United States has the most accountability built into it? Hmm. The military. It is all about accountability. It's all about accountability. If you have not done your role, if you have not done your job, you are out.
Yeah.
Sometimes they even throw your ass in jail for it. Let's take that same mentality. Even a percentage of it into our relationships, and things get better.
Yeah.
But in recovery, it's so needed, man. You have to give people the permission to begin to heal.
Yeah.
And that starts with, you have to get it. Mm-hmm. If you don't get it, if you don't see how bad you've hurt someone, if you've never even considered how they feel about it, and your idea is just, we're just going to move forward and move on, man, it's going to be a rough road.
Yeah.
It's not going to get better.
Yep.
All right. Anything else?
No, I think that's solid.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all we've got here. I hope that was helpful.
Yeah.
That was our experience with it.
Yeah.
Have you forgiven me, angry TikTok lady?
Have I forgiven you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Half the TikTok says you're still mad. You mad, bro?
They're dumb.
It's funny because we have to go visit like subjects and topics a lot that we've long since healed from.
Yeah.
So we have to live them through other people's experiences and stories. So a lot of times when there's a video, it's a reaction to someone's story. Mm-hmm. So it's like, ooh, yeah, I have feelings on this, but that's not necessarily a reflection of your current
state. Of my current state. No, it's just that I've been there before. Yeah. I know what you're feeling. I'm putting myself in other people's shoes that I've been there. It's also having empathy as well, because I am putting myself in their shoes, even though I've been there.
Yes.
But I'm going back to a space, you know, that I haven't been in a long time. I'm their voice.
Right.
You know,
you're their advocate.
I am there for them. And if you think that I'm still resentful, you're crazy. Our marriage is very strong.
Yeah. We just left. We went to the wedding in Colorado and had so much fun.
Oh yeah.
We danced all night together.
Yes.
We had an incredible time.
Yeah. But we have meaningful conversations.
So much love. I look across the room and just see you staring at me, just smiling.
Yeah.
And I know that look. That is like, you love me.
Yep.
You are in love with me.
Yes.
You see me and you admire me, and all that's present in our marriage again.
Yeah.
But it started with this process of accountability.
Yes.
Without this,
no, I was telling you that, I know we have to get off here really quickly because we should get our kid, but I was telling you earlier that I don't think that our marriage would have worked out had you not taken responsibility and been accountable.
There's no way it would have
acknowledged and apologized.
It would have been miserable for both of us.
And actually changed. Like, and not even just changing, but not you saying you're sorry and actually acknowledging what you did was a big deal. And a lot of people don't realize that.
It is, but it's not. It shouldn't be. And I think we should just make this normal and all.
No, I'm saying it's a big deal for me.
Oh, okay.
Not, I mean, for you, it should be simple. It should be like, oh man, you know, I harmed you, you know, but for me, it was a big deal, because if it didn't happen, I don't think our marriage would have worked.
Yeah. I don't see how it can.
Yeah.
How can it? We're just not gonna talk about it.
I would not have felt safe. And we all deserve to feel safe in our relationships.
Yeah. And if you don't have safety, dude, like we talked about intimacy, like that's off the table.
Yeah.
That's off the table. Like everything's off the table without the safety.
Yes.
Like they have to trust.
Being safe is number one priority.
Yeah. In order to trust, you have to get it. They need to know that you understand what you've done.
Yes.
And that happens with the conversation, not a unilateral decision to move forward in an arbitrary way.
Yep. All right.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's all we've got. Until next time, I'm Matt.
I'm Paige.
And we'll see you.
Bye.